Okay, I hope I'm not forgetting anything. If I am, somebody just wave at me or flag me down or something and we can stop and change gears. But so far it seems like we're okay. We're on track here. I want to again say thank you for the invitation to come and be with you today. We're very honored to be here. For those that may not know us, my wife Charlene is the pretty one there. Just wave your hand, dear. And Charlene has taught for many years at Emmanuel, so many of you will know her through that connection and other connections as well. And together we work at Harvest House downtown Charlottetown, sometimes known as Solms Porch. And there we have an outreach to people on the streets of our city. And many of you will know that many of you in this congregation are very plugged into that ministry and that outreach. In fact, every Tuesday morning, there's a little group, a small little group that comes from this church to help us and to work with us and to volunteer time and resources and energy to reach out into the hearts and the lives of those people that we reach out to regularly. So we are so thankful for the partnership of this congregation and for the people of this congregation and your love for us and for the work that we do and your love for the people that that are less fortunate than most of us and struggling to survive on the streets of Charlottetown. So that's who we are. John and Charlene Bennett, and we've been here on the island for 30 years now. So we feel like we belong here, and it's just so great to be here this morning. Let's pray as we get into God's Word. Father, we thank you today for your love and your mercy. We thank you for your Word. Thank you that it is so real and so pertinent and relevant to our lives. Even though it was written thousands of years ago, it's for us today. And your word does not change. The way that it's presented is changed, but the word itself does not change. And so today we pray that as we look at your word, that it will have a fresh impact on each of our lives. That we'll have clearer understanding of the things that you want to communicate to us. We pray that the words that I may offer and the thoughts that we may have in our hearts will somehow be joined together by you and that you will take that and use that to grow us and to disciple us and to help us to become more effective in the world that we live in today. So we look forward to hearing your word, and we look forward to the power of your Holy Spirit touching us through that today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the word this morning is taken from John chapter 10, and I'm not sure if that's going to be on the screen or... Oh, there it is. Boom. All right. Thank you. So I'm reading from the New King James Version, and I think that's... No, that's not what you have, but it's very close. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. And Jesus told them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. And we pray that God will grant us wisdom as we apply this word to our hearts and our lives today. Well, as I mentioned before, and we all are well aware of, this is a brand new year, 2019. It's hard to believe that that another decade has almost gone by, and the years just keep clicking by. 2018 was an interesting year for all of us in various ways. It's a year of our life. It's a year of our history. It holds memories for us, some good, maybe some not so good. What was 2018 like for you? Was it a good year? Was it a bad year? Was it a mediocre year? Or some other description that you had for it? Did you survive 2018? Well, I suspect you survived it because you're breathing here this morning. You weren't carried in, I don't think. We survived it. But would you like 2019 to be an even better year than 2018? Would you like to move to new heights? Would you like to experience better things and more things and have a deeper experience of life in 2019? I think we probably would all say yes to that. We, irregardless of what 18 was like, of course we would like 19 to be a better year. Some may say, well, I don't think it could be any better because 2018 was just the best year ever. But we can always move beyond. We can always take another step. We can always grow a little more and experience a little more. Today's message, I want to share with you six keys to help us to thrive in 2019. Now, I mentioned that perhaps we survived 2018, but can we take that to the next level? And can we do better than survive? Can we thrive in 2019? And so as we look at thriving as opposed to surviving, I've broken that down, and this is a little kind of an anachronism that the Lord gave me a few weeks ago about thriving. So we're going to take each of the letters in the word thrive and have a little look at them and see if they can't give us a bit of a key as to how we can thrive in 2019. Now, right off the bat, the first letter, T, there's no T. So we're already outside the box. That's not a bad thing. But if you take the small letter T, you have a cross. And that's where we're going to start. We're going to start at the cross. So don't think of a T like this. Think of a T like this. If you want to thrive in your life, it has to start at the cross. There's no other place to go. If you want this next year to be the best year you have ever experienced, it has to begin at the cross. Because everything begins at the cross. All of history, all of time, everything comes together at the cross. When Jesus came into this world and lived here for those 33 years, he came with the express purpose of giving his life, of dying on that cross, so that you and I could begin to experience life. Right back in the book of Genesis, when Adam and Eve were first making their steps in paradise, And they fell by taking the fruit of the wrong tree, by disobeying God. Right then and there, God purposed, and we read it in Genesis chapter 3, God purposed that things were going to change at the cross. If you want things to change in your life, if you want things to move forward in your life, we've got to go back to the cross. It has to start there at the cross. And Jesus, in the text that we read here in John chapter 10, Jesus explains how to be part of his family, how to be part of his flock, how to be part of his kingdom. And he says in verse 6 that many cannot figure it out. Many cannot even understand what Jesus is saying, he says. Jesus used this illustration, but they didn't understand the things which he spoke to them. They weren't getting it. Jesus talked about the fact that people try to jump the fence and get in this way and get in that way and figure it out on their own and do some other thing, but the disciples weren't getting the picture. So Jesus said, here it is in plain language. It gets very clear. He says, I am the door. Verse 7 and verse 9, he repeats it. I am the door. Now, of course, at that point, it was just a little bit before the cross actually happened. Jesus had not quite got to the place where he had given his life. He was still living with the disciples and teaching them and helping them to understand what was coming and where things were going. And they were pretty slow about it. They didn't get a lot. We have the advantage of hindsight, and we can understand things a little better than they could at their time. But they had the advantage of having Jesus right there teaching them and talking to them and telling them over and over and over again. He says, I'm the door. I am the way. He came to give his life. And when he gave his life on the cross, it's the cross that makes salvation possible. See, if Jesus had just died a normal life like you and I, lived a normal life and died a normal death like you and I, then there wouldn't have been any salvation. But it's because Jesus lived a sin-free life, because he never disobeyed the Father, he became that perfect sacrifice that was required. Sacrifice that you and I could never provide. The sacrifice that you and I could never meet or match. And the story of the Old Testament, all through the Old Testament, is a story of God's people, the nation of Israel, trying to find their way to please God. And yet there was ultimately no pleasing God. They would take their sacrifices and they would burn their incense and they would do all their things that were prescribed in the law. And they always, always, always fell short. They could never make it. And you and I today, we can try and try and try as hard as we want to please God and to do whatever we want. You and I can never make it either. Every one of us here has broken some, if not all, of the Ten Commandments. We can't do it. We cannot keep the law the way that God would have liked us to keep the law. But what we can do is we can turn to Jesus, because that is God's provision for us. Jesus comes to give us salvation. So everything begins at the cross. If the cross had not happened, we would all be destined eternally to damnation. Not one of us would be able to experience eternal life or heaven with God. Not one of us. Jesus has made it all possible. The cross has made it all possible. And that's where it begins. Jesus said, I am the door. Nobody gets in unless they come through me. Nobody gets in unless they understand that I am the doorway. And so recognition of the cross and the significance of that in your life and in my life is the first step to thriving in the world that we live in. Or in this case, in the new year that's in front of us. If we want to thrive, we have to start at the cross. We have to recognize that without Jesus' sacrifice for us, we have no hope and we have no significant future. It all begins at the cross. The centrality of the cross in our lives is ultimate to our culture and to our human experience. The centrality of the cross of Jesus Christ is where it all begins. The cross gives us access to heaven. Heaven is the second letter, H, of thrive. So we start with the cross, and the cross gives us access to heaven. Well, what is heaven? We need a better understanding of heaven, perhaps, because when we talk about heaven, we often ask the question, well, I wonder where heaven is. We've all heard that question, if not asked it ourselves. Where would heaven be? But the question is not really, where is heaven? The question, more appropriately, is, what is heaven? Have you ever asked the question, is it possible to have heaven on earth? That's a good question, and Scripture addresses that, because Jesus said many different times to his followers and his disciples, especially when he was starting out, he said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And there he was, walking on planet earth. Somewhere over there in Israel, the nation of Israel, Jesus was walking around saying, the kingdom of heaven is here. It's arrived. The kingdom of heaven is on earth. Jesus not only represents the kingdom of heaven, but he is the kingdom of heaven. In Matthew chapter 13, there's a verse that says, the disciples were asking Jesus, why are you teaching in parables? Why don't you just give it to us straight? And Jesus explained it this way. It has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. So in other words, he's talking to the rest of the world in parables because they won't understand, but you, as my followers, have received the secret, if you will, of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. In other words, Jesus saying, I'm here with you. I am the kingdom of heaven. I am the mystery revealed to you and for you in your life. So heaven is not just a place. Heaven is the experience of Jesus. Heaven is the presence of Jesus in our lives and in our world. Jesus is heaven on earth. And so if we have Jesus in our lives, then we have the ability to experience heaven on earth. It's not just a matter of waiting until we get to heaven, wherever that may be, but it's a matter of experiencing heaven in our lives today and for all time and eternity. Heaven begins right now, with the presence of Jesus in your life. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. If we choose to walk with Jesus and grow with him and live with him and experience him in our lives every day. The cross gives us access to heaven. Not some distant time in the future. Not some distant place in the sky that we can't really get a handle on. The cross gives us access to the kingdom of heaven in our lives today. And as we begin to understand heaven as being not just a place, but an experience that we can have in Christ, then we begin to understand revelation from God. Revelation is our third letter, R. The cross gives us access to heaven, and our understanding of heaven is a revelation that comes from God. Now, when we talk about the word revelation, it's sometimes a little bit intimidating or threatening because we begin to go to the last book of the Bible, and there's a lot of stuff in there that's kind of all over the place, and we're not always sure what to do with all of that, how to read it, how to interpret it, and how to follow through on it. But Revelation is more than a book. Revelation, as we read through scriptures, is God communicating to us. The ultimate revelation of God is not the book of Revelation, but the ultimate revelation of God to us is Jesus. Jesus is God's ultimate revelation in your life and in mine. And so the revelation of God is God communicating to us ultimately through Jesus, but God communicates many ways to us, many times. In verses 3, 4, and 5 of our text, Jesus refers to revelation from the doorkeeper. It says, to the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. And when he brings out his sheep, he goes before them and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will by no means follow a stranger. They will flee from a stranger for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus, God's ultimate revelation to us, is the one who communicates to us most often. Jesus is trying to talk to us. He's trying to be that doorkeeper. He's trying to help us to hear his voice so that we can walk with him, so that we can move from pasture to pasture, so that we can move from our one experience of heaven to another experience of heaven with Jesus. It says he speaks and he calls and he leads. He speaks, he calls, and he leads. That's God revealing himself to you and to me who are the sheep. God speaks, he calls, and he leads. And it says that the sheep listen and they respond or they answer and they follow. The revelation of God is a revelation that moves us to engage with Jesus. The revelation of God through Jesus is a revelation that causes us to integrate our lives and our communication with the God of the universe. I hope we know that God is more anxious to communicate with us than we are even to communicate with him. God speaks to us in many, many, many different ways. And very occasionally, someone will report that they've heard an audible voice from God. We don't get that very often. Most often, we hear that still small voice that comes within as like, oh, yes, this is what I need to do, or this is where I need to go, or this is how I need to respond to a situation in my life. But Jesus says, my sheep know my voice. If you need to hear what God is saying to you about a particular situation, if you're walking into 2019 and you have some big question marks in your life, I wonder what's going to happen here. I wonder what's going to happen there. I wonder how I'm going to deal with this. I wonder how I'm going to thrive in this situation that looks to be happening in my life. How am I going to move forward? Scripture tells us that we know the voice of the Savior. And if we ask God for an answer, he will give it to us. If we sincerely ask him to speak to us and to let us know what his thought and his communication or revelation to us is going to be, he's very anxious to communicate that to us. Jesus speaks and calls and leads. And he speaks and he calls and he leads all of us who are willing to listen even today. In Romans 16, it says, the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations. Paul's talking about the revelation, ultimately Jesus. But the mysteries of God are being made known to us through the revelation of Jesus. We now have Jesus. We now have the Holy Spirit operating in our lives. Revelation leads to intercession. That's the next letter in Thrive. Intercession, I. Intercession is kind of the opposite of revelation in the sense that revelation is God's speaking to us. Intercession is our speaking to God, if you will. Our prayer life is meant to be a two-way street. Our communication with God is intended to be both directions. We speak to Him, He speaks to us. I often say that God gave us two ears and one mouth, but most of us use that in the wrong proportion. We walk around like we have two mouths and one ear. And that goes with God as well in our relationship with God. Sometimes we have way more to say to God than we have time to actually listen to God. And you know what it's like, because when the world presses in on us, it's like, well, God, I need this, and God, I need that, and Father, help me with this thing, and Lord, I'm in trouble over here. And it's like, okay, amen. That's my prayer. But isn't it interesting that God gave us two ears? And maybe we need to take more time to listen to what God is saying. Just like we should in our own relationships with each other. Maybe do a little less talking, a little bit more listening. We might get a little further. Same thing with God. A little less talking, a little more listening. We might have a better perspective on how things are supposed to go. But we do need to engage with God in intercession. We do need to pray. We do need to talk to Him. We do need to communicate to Him. We do need to let Him know the things that are going on in our hearts and lives that are important to us. Intercession specifically refers to praying for other people. And we need to pray for each other. I need to pray for you. You need to pray for me. We need to pray for our children and our parents and our families and our co-workers and our churches and all the people that God puts in our lives. We need to pray for those people. Intercession could be defined as self-expression to make an impression on God. Intercession could be defined as self-expression to make an impression on God. I want God to know what's in my heart. I want to express myself and share my heart with Him so that He will hear me and He will know that I'm anxious to be in communication with Him. 1 Timothy chapter 2 says, therefore I exhort first all of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So prayer and intercession is a gift of communication given by God to His human creation, to you and me. It's God's gift to us. Prayer, intercession, communication with God. And intercession leads to victory. V is the next letter in the word thrive. So are you with me so far? We've got the T for cross. We've got the H for the kingdom of heaven. We've got the R for revelation, that God speaks to us. We've got the I for intercession, that we speak to God. And then we've got the V for victory. Intercession leads to victory. We just read that in the scripture, in that verse, in 1 Timothy chapter 2. When we start praying for each other, then peace comes into our world and our circumstances. We begin to experience victory. We begin to move from that place of just surviving to thriving. And that's where we want to go. We want to do more than survive. We want to thrive. We want to move forward and take the land, as it were. We want to move forward and do what God is calling us to do, to be the people that God is calling us to be. We want to step out in faith. We want to step out in victory. Victory is ours to experience. It's ours to enjoy. It's something that Jesus purchased for us, if you will, on the cross 2,000 years ago. Victory belongs to you and I as a follower of Jesus Christ. It's ours. It's part of our inheritance. We didn't earn it. It's not our right. It's a gift that God has given to us. Victory is ours to experience and enjoy. That brings us to chapter 10 and verse 10 of John's gospel that we read, where Jesus says very clearly in verse 10, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. That they may have life. The word may, that they may have life or they might have life, tells us that there's a choice involved. It's not automatic. Your thriving and your victory and the enjoyment and experience of victory in your life is not automatic. It's a choice. You can choose to experience what God has given to you, or you can choose to let it go and do it your way. It's like around Christmas time, you know, when people are sending things and you get that little card in the mail and it says you have a parcel waiting for you at the post office. It's got your name on it. You don't know what's in it. You don't know maybe even who sent it. But there's a parcel waiting for you at the post office. Well, you can leave it there at the post office if you want. And it'll stay there forever. Well, probably not forever. Probably send it back at some point. But it's yours to go and pick up. It's yours to experience. But if you choose not to experience the parcel that's waiting for you, then you lose out. You don't get to enjoy or maybe even understand what's in that parcel. It's a choice. And so often we forget in the world that we live in today that we have the ability to make choices to change the situations that we're in. And sometimes it's as simple as just going and exchanging the card for the parcel. Sometimes it's that easy. The gift is there for you. I'm not saying that victory is simple in everybody's life. It's not. Because many of us struggle with many things. And many of us are looking for victory in many areas of our lives. But victory is a choice. A choice that we have. I've come that you might have life. And you might have it abundantly. In another translation, it puts it this way. I have come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect, life in its fullness, until you overflow. Does that not sound victorious? Does that not sound like the kind of life that we would like to live, so that we're thriving, so that good stuff is just flowing out of us? We're overflowing with abundance in everything that God has provided for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Many of you will know this verse. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. That spells victory. The old life gone. The new life has begun. There'll be people in this congregation today that can testify of how the old life pulled you down, took you down, tore you down. Now that old life is gone and the new life has come. That's victory. That's the victory that God has for you and has for me. Victory leads to our eternal experience. That comes to the letter E, the last letter in the word thrive. Eternal life is a fulfillment of God's word in our lives. Titus chapter 3. According to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We get to inherit eternal life. We get to experience the greatness of our God for billions and billions of years. This life is just a shadow. It may be 70, 80, 90, maybe 100 years. It's just a shadow of the eternity that we have inherited because of Jesus. All of that life that awaits us, all of that experience of the kingdom of heaven fulfilled that awaits us. That is the fulfillment of God's word. That is what life is all about. That is what God has intended for us. You know, in Sunday school, we used to sing that song, "This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through." You and I were called to this life, but this life is a stepping stone to the real experience of life, the eternal life that God has planned for you and I. God wants to spend eternity with you. God is so waiting for that time when we are together and all will be well. And we will know the fullness of time and experience in Christ. You and I were not meant to struggle to make it through. So many of us dealing with anxiety and worry and fear, we weren't meant to be shackled by those things. The enemy wants to tear you down. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. We read it earlier. The enemy is not your friend. He's your enemy. He doesn't like you. He hates you. And he wants to do everything he can to destroy you. He wants to keep you from thriving. He wants to keep you from experiencing the fullness of who God is and wants to be in your life. So he sends that stuff like anxiety and fear and worry and all those things that come our way. You were meant to live life and to live it abundantly. Jesus intended for you to thrive in life. This is the promise of the eternal God. You were intended to dig deep into these things and to reach out into the world that we live in with the good news that we don't have to just survive, but we can thrive. You were meant to know God and to make him known. Surviving is often just for those who have no real hope in life, just trying to get from one day to the next. That's not you. That's not me. You and I are children of God. You and I belong to the God of eternity. We are his, and he is ours, and we were meant to thrive as his children. But it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's not about you. You're not going to thrive if your life is about you. You will thrive if your life is about Jesus. As we look at those six keys that we talked about, the first two have to do with our relationship with Jesus. The cross, bringing us salvation, and the kingdom of heaven, the presence of Jesus in our lives, in our world. Right? So it has to do with our relationship with Jesus. The second two letters, the R and the I, have to do with our communication with Jesus. The revelation of Jesus communicating to us and the intercession, us communicating with Jesus. So we have relationship with Jesus. We have communication with Jesus. And the last two letters, the V and the E, the victory and the eternity, we have community. I'm sorry, we have experience is the word I'm looking for. We have experience with Jesus. So there's relationship, and there's communication, and there's experience. Those three things, but it all comes back to Jesus. If we don't have Jesus, we have nothing. If we have Jesus, we have everything. 2019, the year ahead of us. Do you want to experience what God has for you? Do you want to know that you have life and that you have it abundantly, like Jesus promised to you? 2019, do you want to thrive in your life, your personal life, your professional life, in your community life? Do you want to thrive in all those areas? It starts with Jesus and it ends with Jesus, because it's all about Jesus. There's a song that was written by Casting Crowns. I don't know if we're going to have that. Are we, Mike? Oh, we might. Good. There's a song that was written by Casting Crowns, and it's called Thrive. And we're going to conclude the message this morning by playing that song for you. If you know it and you'd like to sing along, you're most welcome to do that. It's a very powerful song which reinforces God's word and the message that I've been sharing with you this morning. You and I are called to thrive in 2019. And it's possible. No matter what hurdles you face, no matter what obstacles come your way, no matter what monkey wrenches are thrown into your spokes, you are called to thrive. And God wants to help you do that in 2019. Do we have that song?
Where many a dream has died, like a tree planted by the water, we never will run dry. So living water flowing through, God, we thirst for more of you. Fill our hearts and flood our souls with one desire, just to know you and to make you know me. Lift your name on high. Shine like the sun, make darkness run and hide. We know we were made for so much more than ordinary life. It's time for us to more than just to show them who you are. So living